Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Let's go in to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Our buddy Scott Petrak joins us now. Hello, Scott.
What's going on, fellas?
Well, we're sitting here and we're happy that the Browns got a win. It wasn't picturesque. As I said, it won't go to the Hall of Fame as an example of how to play the game. That doesn't matter because they're 1-1.
Yeah, it's a big win. You don't want to go 0-2, especially the way they started yesterday. Felt like it was their game, theirs for the taking. Then all of a sudden, it started to get away from them, and you could visualize just one of those terrible losses, and 0-2, and the sky's falling, and everything's going wrong. So it was really important that they got the win. I thought they showed signs of improvement from that week one debacle, and across the board, I thought they got better in pretty much every area.
How about Deshaun's play? Just, you know, they came out on fire, and then things kind of trickled back. You ended up with three offensive points in the second half, and I still think there's some rhythm issues. I don't know if it's because of the offensive line or what. You tell me your thoughts on Deshaun and maybe perhaps some of still the rhythm issues.
Yeah, he's certainly included in the group of guys that made big improvements from week one. That first drive was really good. I thought he got the ball out of his hands quickly. I thought he made quick and smart decisions, which a lot of times were missing against the Cowboys. So I thought it was really positive in that aspect. You know, as the game went on, I think Jacksonville adjusted. Things got sloppier. I thought the line protected him pretty well. I think it was only two sacks. I didn't feel like he was running around like crazy as he was the week before. So they got some of that shored up. You know, it's a good defensive front from Jacksonville, but they don't do as much kind of exotic blitzes that the Cowboys did the week before that the Browns struggled to pick up. So, you know, there's still room for improvement with Watson. He and Amari Cooper have yet to click. You know, yesterday Cooper had three catches on eight targets. Certainly not good enough. But it was a step forward for Watson.
Scott Petrak joining us. Scott, what is it about the Browns on opening drives that seem to be above the, I think NFL teams score on something like 22% of the opening drives? I don't have the Browns stat, but it sure seems like they're very successful on opening drives. Two parts. Why? What are they doing so well? And what does Kevin Stefanski, what does he do? What's his staff do? And then what happens? Because sometimes that goes away.
Yeah, I mean, I think the credit goes to Kevin Stefanski for scripting the first however many plays it is. You know, usually it's 15. So you script a good set of 15 plays. You practice those during the week. The guys know what's coming. And that pays off, and that means he knows what he's doing. He thinks he knows where to attack the defense from what he's seen on film. Now, things change as the game goes on. The other team adjusts. They have matchups they can attack. You don't have everything scripted, so you're calling plays more spontaneously, I suppose, which I'm sure is more difficult to do. You know, he's got the play call, the sheet in front of him, and he's got – you know, first and 10, we do this. Second and 5, we do this. So, but it's just different than something you've thought about all week and you've planned all week. But I just think it's natural for there to be a little bit of a fall off there when you haven't worked on this specific, even order of plays as you do in the early in the game as to later in the game.
Jack Conklin inactive again. Hudson starts left tackle. You're still waiting on Jed. What's your feeling, or do you have a gut on maybe when Jack or Jed will be back? Because I also feel like a lot of these offensive line problems, although these guys haven't played in a while, which kind of scares me, but I think they might dissipate a little bit once like one or both of them come back.
Yeah, well, I would agree that Jedrick Wills and or Jack Conklin would be an upgrade at left tackle. I would also say I don't think the line certainly had its issues in the opener. It wasn't all the line's fault. You know, the 17 hits from Watson, it was not all the line's fault. Whether it's guys getting open and or Watson holding the ball for too long makes the line look worse. I thought the line was fine yesterday. I mean, I'm rewatching the game right now, and, you know, there's pressure, but that happens. Like I said, there are only two sacks. I'm going to look up his hits as I'm sitting there right now. You know, he's only hit a total of eight times, so you cut that in half from week one. So, you know, I think those guys would be an upgrade, but I don't think the line killed him by any stretch yesterday. And as far as the timeline, I mean, I kind of felt like Conklin was going to be ready to go either week one or week two. So I think it could be any week. It would not surprise me if it came against the Giants. I think Jed Wills is a week behind, you know, just from when they came back to practice. But I saw both the look at the guys Friday, and they both looked pretty good to me. Like, that was as good as I've seen Jed Wills move since last year. So I think that's encouraging. You know, we have to remember, Conklin's was a serious, serious injury, and it's only been 53, 54 weeks since it happened. So, and I don't think it's overly concerning that they're not ready yet, but I do think you're going to get both those guys back within the next, you know, 2 or 3 weeks.
Scott Petrak joining us, Chronicle Telegram. You can read all of his coverage of the Browns at brownzone.com. Denzel Ward played 11 snaps yesterday and said after the game it was kind of a situational thing and he was on a snap count. Why? And if he was okay to play 11, you know, only 11, it makes me think maybe he shouldn't have played at all, Scott?
Well, it's weird because he was on the injury report all week, but he's a full participant. And you kind of ignore those guys because, you know, if you're a full participant, then he wasn't on the, you know, his game status was he was going to play. So yeah. It wasn't on my radar at all. And, in fact, I had to look it up during the game. I said, man, was he on there for anything? And then you see shoulder, and I think, okay, well, you can probably practice with the shoulder injury because there's no contact or, you know, not much contact in practice. But you get to the game, and you have to be more careful. So, you know, he said that it's not that big a deal. Stefanski said he would be okay. I think they just were trying to limit the amount of hits that it was possible for him to take. And Kevin Stefanski said he was feeling it during the game because he started and he played the first couple snaps. He made a couple plays. Then it was only on third down. Then it wasn't every third down. So, you know, they downplayed it after the game. Obviously, it's something to keep an eye on because he is your best corner. And it's only been two games, but he's made a bunch of plays on the ball already.
That ending was so bizarre yesterday, Scott. I walked away from the TV for 2 seconds, and they had already, after the punt, and I'm like, all right, I feel good. They got the ball back here. They're going to be running out of clock. And then I came back, and I'm like, wait a minute. What's going on here? How did they get the ball back? I just, you know, for a team that was so well-scripted at the beginning of the game, that last drive made no sense to me at all.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm with you on the crazy finish. And, you know, Stefanski said, like, it's a finish I'll never forget, you know, which is kind of a quote that stands out for him because he usually doesn't say stuff like that. I mean, the big play was the third down, right after the safety, they get the ball back on the kind of punt onside kick, which is weird in itself. And they run it twice, and then on third down, he tells Deshaun Watson that if the throw isn't there, take a sack. And for a reason that I guess maybe only Watson knows, he did not take the sack, and he tried to throw it, and it turns into an incompletion and costs the Browns 40 seconds. So Stefanski said he was mad at him, and then he got over it. But that's just the play on the quarterback. You got to know better than that. You have to know that those seconds are precious. And you would think that that difference in 40 or 45 seconds, whatever it would be, keeps, you know, if the Jaguars don't have that time, then they don't get the Hail Mary throw into the end zone.
Yeah.
And instead they do, and everybody has to sweat it out. So, you know, it wound up not costing him, but that's a bad play on Watson's part. And you can say Stefanski should have just, you know, called a run and handed it off, but I think you have to trust your quarterback to be smarter there.
I was just going to say the same thing that you just said. Maybe you just call the run there and just think clock completely rather than try and make the play. But you're right. You got to trust your quarterback that he makes the right play.
Right. And the hope, you know, the goal is you get a first down and the game's over. And you don't think you're going to get it running the ball. And you think, you know, they're going to be loaded up against a run. So maybe you can catch them with a little rollout and get them. And it's a pretty safe play unless your quarterback decides to throw the ball.
Should the Browns be concerned at all that Deshaun really hasn't had a big-time passing game as a member of the Browns? He hasn't had a 300-yard game. He had 289 last year against Tennessee, but that was his best game. Is that a concern that we're not seeing big-time passing numbers, or is that just the way this offense is going to be?
No, I would say most definitely it's a concern, Jeff. You know, this is a passing league. Guys throw for big numbers a lot. They're trying to throw the ball a bunch with Deshaun Watson. Now, they went away from it. I mean, they still threw it a bunch, but they ran more than they did in week one yesterday, and that was by design, and they're trying to take some pressure off him, and, you know, he still threw it 34 times. But, yeah, I think it shows where his game is right now. I think there's not the explosive aspect to it that he had in Houston. And if they're going to be if they're going to reach their full potential, he needs to have some games like that. That doesn't need to be every week, but you have to have that potential. And it bogs down too much. And, you know, I know we're only a couple weeks into this year and the sample size hasn't been big since he's been here. But you haven't seen enough of those consistent, and it's not only the deep balls, it's consistent, you know, moving the chains and completion after completion after completion. You just haven't seen enough of that. And yes, I think that is a concern because you need your, you know, $230 million quarterback to put up some big numbers every once in a while.
We will listen for you during the Kevin Stefanski press conference. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, fellas.
Scott Petrak, brownzone.com. Go read all of Scott's work covering the team. He covers the team for the Chronicle-Telegram and does a fine job of it. Seriously, who picked 18 points?
So here's what happened. I'll give it away. Go ahead and listen to the podcast because a lot of people, or watch it on YouTube. But what happened was Daryl was just kind of getting on towards the end.
Daryl getting ornery?
Yeah, and so he goes, well, why don't we just do a prediction thing? What's your prediction, Baskin? I go, I'm not giving you a prediction. I go, this is ridiculous. I go, these predictions are silly. Why would we want to do them? He goes, oh, come on, man. Just give me one. I go, okay, 18-13.
There's no way you did that.
I absolutely did that. Yes. First, I thought I said 18-12, but I guess I said 18-13. Because I went back and checked it. It's in the podcast. I predicted the score yesterday. A total lock. I mean,
Who comes up with 18-13?
I wanted to come up with
overture.
I just wanted to come up with 18-12
is an overture.
I remember Daryl saying to me, Daryl, oh, well, come on, man. Just tell me what the score is. Tell me what the score is. And I said, and I'm like thinking of something super obscure. Like, I probably thought 18-2 at first. And by the way, I would have been close on the 2-2 yesterday based on the safety. So, yeah, so I got it right yesterday.
Battle of Lake Erie was 18-13, so.
I can't believe.
He's got that going for him.
We won, didn't we? 18-13, right.
Did we win that war?
That is correct.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Well, we're still here.
We beat the Canadians, didn't we? Really?
We're speaking English.
How did we fight the Canadians in anything? They're so nice.
Not speaking French.
They're so nice. They probably could have walked over and said, here's some beer, eh? And be like, okay, whoever can chug the most wins. And I think we chugged more than they did then. Is that how it worked?
However,
it's okay. Can't be anything worse than what my geography was when I totally forgot about Denver, Vegas, and New Orleans, all places the Browns have to go.
However, it takes for you to remember history, wonderful.
Yeah, that's right.
How do you go 89 yards on 16 plays and eat up 9 minutes of the clock for a touchdown on the opening drive and then don't get into the end zone again?
So maybe it's kind of like somebody wrote your paper in school. How's that sound?
Did you go online and order one? You can do that now, apparently.
Oh, AI, I'll take care of it for you. You don't have to worry about anything. I'm going to do an AI thing for you this week.
Maybe your AI was a prediction of your score.
I'm going to come up with Jeff Phelps' life history just by going to AI and typing in Jeff Phelps.
Don't start putting my name in.
All I have to do is type in and put
never know what you're going to see.
Put in Van Radio and see what comes up.
How do you go 89 yards on 16 plays on your first drive and eat up 9 minutes, get a touchdown, and don't score?
Because the offense knew everything that was coming, and they knew what they were doing. And the surf is bad.
All right, so tell me this.
The offense always has advantage when
is the offense
good.
Really are the Browns really, 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 really good
no.
at putting together an opening drive and scripting, or are they really bad at winging it afterwards?
I'm going to be an optimist because they won. I'll say they're really good at scripting. How's that sound?
All right. All right. I'm going to talk wide receiver in a minute. Mike's in Brunswick. Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Mike.
I can say the way they did that was...
Mike, you got to call back, man. Your line is breaking up every other word. Call back. We'll take the call.
I was going to give you another 3 seconds to figure it out, Mike, but Andy, no.
Jeff, seriously. Dan, right call.
Andy made the right call.
Thank you, Dan.
It's going to go 3 seconds. Curtis, your phone better be good or Andy's going to cut you off immediately.
Thank you, Curtis. You should hear Jeff. Sounds like he's on AM radio sometimes.
Hi, Curtis.
In real life.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay. So, yeah, I go by this Vince Lombardi theory that winning ain't everything is the only thing. I never understand when teams win and then people try to look for big stuff to pick about. You know, this is basically watching the second preseason game. I just think, give me
Curtis, we're not complaining. We do a 4-hour talk show.
No.
Would you like me to say, hey, they won? Afternoon guys are coming up in 4 hours.
No, Jeff, the question you asked was about his numbers. Do we care if Watson has big numbers? We don't. Give me Bernie Kosar, a guy that only threw 20 touchdowns one time in his career, and let Marino and then put up all those numbers and then the championship was always Elway and Kosar. And not Kelly and Marino.
All right, Curtis, you know what? I agree with you on that. The quarterback's job is to win games, isn't it?
It's 17 all-stars on that team. It ain't on Watson. It's on all of them.
Curtis, thank you.
True.
Yep.
Appreciate it,
buddy.
Thank
you. That's what Therapy Monday is all about, my friends. Good things happen, and people don't want to see it, and people are trying to understand why we can't just harp on the good.
There will come a time when Deshaun's going to have to win games for this team. And, you know, we hope he's ready when that happens. To me, that's a big thing. Right now, the quarterback is not the guy on that offense who you count on to, like, go win a game for you. And I think the problem is there's nobody that you count on to go win a game.
No, especially with Njoku hurt. I agree with that.
It's the whole unit. It's Nick Chubb. Yeah. Nick's not here.
Yeah.
And it's David, and I think it's Amari. And Amari has had a slow start, and David is out.
It's also missing both tackles, too.
Bill's in Parma. Hello, Bill.
Hey, guys. Great program, as always.
Thank you, Bill. Congratulations to your Chiefs.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up, Andy. Before, you guys are saying the word ornery correct, but you got to say it incorrect. And there's an R in there, and that's ornery.
Yeah, I didn't feel right coming out. You know, it was kind of like a bad swing, you know, and then all of a sudden it's in the woods. I felt that. Yeah.
You have to add that R that's incorrect, and then it makes it ornery.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, let's move on. Yes.
The Chiefs, as a matter of fact, they don't look good as well. And so I can't see much difference between them and the Browns. I mean, and they're supposedly the best team in football, supposedly. And there's no team that I've seen that has been all that great. Well, look at what happened to the Cowboys yesterday.
Yeah, they got smoked by the Saints.
Whew. Yeah, and
I don't. Maybe the Saints look great. They put a ton of points on the board the last 2 weeks.
Well, they might. They might. But I just think that this is a game in progress, a team in progress, and I'm hoping that the Browns do as good as anybody else. But they look the same to me as everybody, and I appreciate you guys.
Bill, thank you very much. Right now, there are 5 teams in the AFC that have won 2 games. 5.
Houston being one again last night.
There are 5 teams in the AFC that are 1-1.
Houston, the second best team?
Oh, way too early to tell.
After 2 weeks, Houston, the second best team.
In the AFC?
Yeah. It was a question that was on the pregame show yesterday. That's why I'm asking you.
I don't know. I
CJ at 260 yesterday.
I don't think they looked really good against the Bears yesterday.
It's kind of a weird game to watch.
I don't think the Bears are really very good. And, you know, they're starting a rookie quarterback, and I thought they were okay. So if I had to tell you who the best team in the AFC is right now, I would tell you.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? an easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Tell you the Buffalo Bills.
All right, fair enough. I hope that guy that was holding sticks in that game between the Bears and Houston's okay today. It was a weird moment during that game.
Yeah, you don't want...
Hope he's okay.
It's funny because it's... Well, it's not funny. It's dangerous on those sidelines in NFL games.
There's no way. People used to say, do you get to stand on the sidelines? You do not... I don't want to be on the sidelines for an NFL game.
I back in the day, we were always down on the field.
I remember.
And it was frightening. And I say that only because... You know, like if I was down there with a photographer, well, I'm looking down and writing sometimes, you know, I'm working and doing things, and you got to keep your eyes on the field all the time. You do not understand how big those guys are, how fast they are. Dominic is in East Rochester. Hello, Dominic.
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
Good, buddy.
Good morning, Dominic.
Happy Monday.
Good morning. You too. A win is a win.
Yep.
That's a, you know. Ugly, not ugly. It was ugly. A win is a win.
Yep.
I got three things very quickly. Number one, could we get a refereeing crew that would let us play? Really? Oh, jeez, every week with the flags.
I don't know if those exist in the NFL anymore.
Yeah, I think it's an NFL thing. I don't know that it's the Browns, and they're all about that illegal shift. Everybody's about the illegal shift right now. Every game I watch, boy. I see it.
Yeah. Second thing is, before I get to the quarterback, what the hell kind of a rule is this that you get a safety, and the team actually gets a chance to win the game? An onside kick, you're going to find teams that are backed up at the end of the game. They're going to take the safety so that they can at least try an onside kick. Terrible.
It is goofy. Dominic, do you remember during the preseason when the Browns had a safety and the other team was allowed to kick off of a tee? It had to have been a mistake.
I'm sorry, I don't.
Oh. I don't. Okay, I'll find the clip. I'll send it to you.
My third thing is not pleasant. You know, in order to be a quarterback of the Cleveland Browns now, do you have to be a dumbbell in order to be a quarterback of the Cleveland Browns? I mean, he throws a pass on that play. I mean, there is even a raw rookie in the NFL where you play for pay should know better than to throw a pass on that play. And then, you know, Szymanski says, well, he got angry for a while. You know, you should still be angry.
Really, well, I bet he really still is.
Dumb. Really dumb. Really. I mean, he gave the other team a chance to win the game, didn't he?
It seemed that way.
Yeah, Dominic, I felt that way. Yeah.
Thank you very much, buddy. Appreciate it. Seems
Stepanski,
that way.
Stepanski drives me crazy sometimes.
Be nice.
Szymanski. Who else?
Be nice.
Dan? Anybody else?
I had to finally correct Dick.
Stefanski.
Dick and
Stefanski.
Dayton yesterday.
Why?
Because he kept calling Tyvus Titus.
Oh.
I just thought, okay, well, that's enough. So
I'm sure you laughed.
We had a little chat. Yeah, we got it all figured out. We did. Coming up in the noon hour, Kevin Stefanski's press conference. We will hear it right here on 92.3 The Fan. You never know who walks in the door. And you never know who you're going to get a chance to have sit down at the microphone and talk to you. Remember a couple weeks ago, we had Hanford Dixon stop by.
Yeah,
Josh Cribbs stop by.
Yeah.
Now, stopping by, former Indians pitcher Chasen Stanford.
Good afternoon.
Stanny is in the
morning,
house.
I guess, right? It's still morning here.
How are you, man?
We're good. How's everybody doing here?
I feel like we're doing good. Tribe time.
We're good.
19 or 2003, it's tribe time.
There it is.
That was late night, though.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, we were awake then. That's right. A good point. Why aren't you managing everybody else you're playing with? Brady's managing.
Brady's a manager?
I guess I'm not that good. I'm better sitting on the couch saying how it goes, right?
But isn't that what a manager does?
I'm surprised at how
Come
many
on,
guys.
Come on, pinch hit here. What are you doing? It's the same thing.
I will say though, it's awesome to see a lot of the guys back in the game.
It's amazing.
Look at Grady's story though, right now, right? I mean, what, last year or the year before, he's being paid $15 an hour to be an intern, and now all of a sudden he's managing a team that's extremely good, right?
Yeah.
Nowhere to go but better.
Right, straight up.
They might want their money back on the $15 an hour.
Right. The Guardians looked like an unlikely first place team at the beginning of the season. And I didn't count them out, but I thought, okay, not sure how this team's going to win. How has this team won?
I think it's putting a lot of pieces together. Steven has done a really nice job setting that lineup, even though you don't have the everyday household names. You know, you can go look at the New York Yankees, all stars up and down.
And you know who's in the lineup.
Right, very much so, right? But you look at the Guardians right now, and yesterday they piece it together. They put up two runs. They executed the small ball portion of it. You know, infield in, they get a fly ball into short right field, and they score a run. And that's all that they needed yesterday. But the cool thing about it is the moment that the game gets tight, Steven and Carl do a really nice job of saying, okay, our bullpen is ready, and it's the best bullpen in baseball.
And they don't hesitate. Yesterday, Ben Lively looks great through five, gets two men on base. Well, you'd let him go, right? Nope. Boom. Out. Bring in the bullpen. Just what you're talking about, Jason.
Very much so. I think that's the thing where analytics comes into play now. Back in the early 2000s and even late 2000s, you didn't have all the analytical numbers. Now you do, of saying, if you go through the lineup three times, you're probably going to struggle. And Lively did a very nice job of pitching ahead, pitching a contact, and doing a good job.
You talked about Carl Willis for a second. You got, you know, Brad Goldberg's out in the bullpen now, who's, you know, worked his way all the way up the system after pitching for the White Sox. How have they been able to do it with this bullpen? And how we know Carl from this outside world. You know Carl from the inside world. How has Carl affected what we're watching in that bullpen?
Well, Carl's been in the organization for a long time. You know, he left for a little bit and went with Eric Wedge out west. And then, you know, he comes back and he's with Terry. What he does a really good job of is understanding each player's strengths. That's what he does a really nice job of. And watching the game yesterday, I was at the game yesterday and watching these guys, they attack the strike zone. They don't give in either, though. You know, these guys have strong fastballs. They have good secondary pitches, but they don't give in. And they make sure that the hitters are hitting their pitches and not allowing the hitters to stay balanced.
Former Indians pitcher Jason Stanford in studio with us. At the beginning of the year, your rotation looked one way. Now your rotation looks completely different. You have Tanner Bibee, and he's it. That's stunning. I mean, teams don't lose four of their five starters at the beginning of the season and sit in first place and be ready to make a playoff run.
No, not even close. I think if you were to go back and say you're going to lose four of your five guys in the rotation and still be in first place,
yeah,
and still be in first place by four or five games, though, right now. It's not like it's a one-game or half-game lead. You know, they've established, and you look at it, they start to bend, and it's like, oh, they lost a game, they lost two games. But they don't lose three, four, five games in a row, and I think that's been huge, too. But the guys that have stepped up in the rotation have done a very nice job. Same thing, establishing the strike zone, pitching a contact when they need to, and getting the defense to play the way they need to.
Just kind of talk about how they've been able to find a rotation. You know, they walked into the season where you thought it was going to be totally different than it was, and then they've been able to kind of thrift shop their way through.
Thrift shop.
They've been able to thrift shop their way through starting pitchers, but it's worked. I mean, why pay $50 for a T-shirt,
right? Ben Lively comes out of nowhere.
Right.
You know, I mean, you couldn't count on him. And then you get Matthew Boyd off of Tommy John and Cobb, who's injured.
Yeah, the only thing they're missing is
Cantillo comes up.
That's it. That's the only thing they're missing. How unlikely was that this was able to happen? And to the same situation, what kind of legs do you think these guys are going to have going in the playoffs?
Well, that's what scares me right now, is that, you know, you piece this rotation together, and can they get through September? That was the big question. They've done it so far. Can you get into the playoffs? And when you get in the playoffs, can you figure out a rotation that's going to get to the bullpen, because that's your strength right now. The starters are not your strength. They've done what they need to do to make it happen so far. But yeah, that's the scary scenario right now, is when you get in the playoffs, you're playing the best of the best. You have rotations, you have all the analytics that play into it, you know, and it is, anything is going to be micronized to say, if you make one mistake, do you win the series or lose the series because of that mistake?
Last baseball thought before we turn to the Browns. I want to hear your thoughts on the Browns. Does this team have the offense to win in the playoffs? I would think not, except they've not had the offense to win this year, and they've won this year.
So everybody's going to say, well, you don't have the strong thump to win in the playoffs. But if you are able to play small ball, if you're able to use your strengths to your advantage, so stealing bases in a timely manner, yes, they do have the offense to win. You can win 1-0 because the pitching rotation, the bullpen can put you on their back and do that, and especially in a short series. You're able to win those games in a short series. Yeah, the guards can do it.
Mm-hmm. All right, you were at the game yesterday, right?
Yes.
All right, so what was the crowd like yesterday? I always find it weird when the Browns and the Indians or Guardians are playing at the same time.
That's the difficult part. So I'm at the game yesterday. We're watching the game, excited. I have my kids there. They're excited because the Guardians are in first place. My son's telling me all the stats about every single player right now.
Does he know your stats?
No, he doesn't. Oh, he thinks that I never played.
Oh, are you serious?
You know, he makes fun of me all the time. He's like, Dad, you didn't play. He goes, it's not nowhere to be found.
Did he know you work for ESPN Television too at one point?
No, he doesn't.
Do you need
care.
Me to give him your life history?
Yes,
or what?
We need a little schooling. We need the little man to step in the office sometime and get him a schooling. But, you know, looking at it, I came in, we're sitting down in our seats. I was disappointed in the crowd yesterday.
Really?
With the guards. I would have expected a little bit more. The Rays, you know, the first two games, the Rays won, the guards come back, they win on Saturday, they win 2-0 yesterday. But I think a lot of it too, like you just said, the Browns, it's a Browns city, unfortunately, and it's a football city, and the fans love their Browns. You go to a guards game, they have football on some of the TVs in there, and I'm like, really, guys? Like, we're here to watch a baseball game and not a football game.
You were watching baseball yesterday. I know you're paying attention to football. The Browns won a game that was not a picturesque game, but you won a football game. As you watch Deshaun Watson play quarterback, and knowing what he did when he was in Houston, what goes through your head, Jason? And Jason Stanford joining us, former Indians pitcher.
So as a fan, I'm frustrated. You watch what he did in Houston. He comes back here. You know, everybody says, okay, he's hurt. He's trying to come back. And I can attest to coming back off of injury. It takes a little bit longer than expected. But at the same time, you're paying this gentleman all this money to do what he's supposed to be doing, and that's be an elite quarterback. You know, it'd be one thing if he wasn't an elite quarterback per se. But you watch yesterday, and average at best, you know, a little over 50% in the throwing. No offensive touchdowns through the air. Yes, he ran one in. But when you look at a quarterback like that, you want him to stand out. And especially if you want this team to get over the hump and get to the next level of being in the category of a Buffalo Bills team, being in the category of a Miami Dolphins team, Ravens team, things like that, you need a guy to step up. And so far in the first two games, I haven't seen it.
I don't want to run out of time, because I want to ask you about this. Look, you decided to stay here in Northeast Ohio after you played for the Guardians, and now you've been doing all this stuff with Veterans VFR Foundation. How is that going? What's going on with that?
No, it's been great. I did opt to stay in the area. I love Northeast Ohio. And there's two things I love about Northeast Ohio besides sports. I love to hunt. I love to fish with my son. But I love the seasons. I didn't get the seasons growing up in Arizona. I had hot and hotter. So when you look at it that way, you know, I'm coming into probably my favorite season right now in the fall. I love football. I love sitting on the couch watching football and watching playoff baseball. But the VFR Foundation, veterans, first responders, I've been associated with this organization for the last 12 years. It just really came into fruition about 2.5-3 years ago, where we've really started to step up and help all of our responders in Northeast Ohio. We're based out of Mentor. We actually have our annual golf outing coming up on Monday.
Oh, cool.
At Canterbury Golf Club. So we're excited about that. It's our third year of doing that. But our main objective is to help on the mental side. You know, the month of September, which I don't know if a lot of people know this, is Suicide Awareness Month. You know, so anytime that we talk about that these days, the mental health has really stepped into our play every day. And for us, it's a big issue. And we just want to make sure that we get back to the families in Northeast Ohio.
Great to have you stop in.
Oh, this was great. I loved it. Thank you so much.
Are there any spots open to play Monday?
Of course. There's always spots open.
All right, how do you find out more?
If you go to VFRfoundation.org,
okay.
You can look on there. We still have some opportunities for sponsors, for whole sponsors, but we do have one or two opportunities for a foursome.
Okay. Hop in if you want to play. It's Canterbury. It's not an easy course to get on.
And the last thing on that, so not only is it a foursome, we are adding a fifth golfer. It is a responder to every group.
Oh, cool.
You will get to golf with a responder. So if you guys are interested, ladies, if you're interested, come join us.
Awesome. Good to have you with us, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Jason Stanford, former Indians pitcher, stopping in.
Always
saying
a pleasure.
Hi. Loving that.
All right, bring your kid in. I mean, I'll get him up to speed.
Tucker, you're coming in, son.
All right.
That's the way to go.